We're going into the month of November shortly, and we're going to have our prayer and fasting every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of the month of November. Hallelujah. And we're going to be looking at greater works. So, like we did last year, we took a 12 days to handle a topic in the scriptures. That is, we had a seminar. So we'll teach God's word for those 12 days, and then we'll be praying every single day. And then this year, 80% of your praying will be concerning you and the will of God for you. 80%. Are we going to pray for brethren? Yes. Are we going to pray for the church? Yes. Are we going to pray for the move of God upon the earth? Yes. But 80% of your praying will be about yourself, because 2019, 2020, there are strategic things God wants individual members of the body of Christ to do. So you're going to be doing a lot of praying for yourself. So if you don't pray during those 12 days, that's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of every week in the month of November, you are going to find yourself to blame. Because there's something in the New Testament about, not that people are necessarily praying for you, but you are doing the bulk of the praying yourself. So we're fasting so that there's a level of seriousness to it. So don't joke with it. You know, we're not going to come to your house to find out whether you're fasting, but we will tell in the days to come whether you have pulled the slack or whether you've pulled your way spiritually or not. So it's important that you make sure you participate every single day. Don't miss a single day. Don't give excuse. Have you noticed that sometimes when you want to start fasting, that's when you start having headache? Have you noticed? It's the flesh. Just deal with it. Don't yield to it. It's the flesh. And when one's fast, that's when one's tummy ache that wasn't there before starts coming. Okay? Drink water. Hallelujah. And continue. Say amen. So don't lose a single day. Don't give excuses to yourself, except those who are, maybe those who are pregnant and maybe those who are breastfeeding. You need to understand that it's important. 12 days, this coming month, for you to pray for the coming year is a very short time. And every single day you have budgeted and planned it. You're not going to pray for a minimum of less than 3 hours per day, because you are dealing with what God wants you to do. Those things will not come to manifestation except you spend quality time praying. We pray more than they did in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they look forward to the promise. You are in the promise. You are a fulfillment of the promise. So you are not praying for God to do. You are praying out the things God wants to do. Say amen. So that's why we take praying more seriously now. You are not Jabez. You are in Christ. Say, I'm in Christ. I am the promise of God fulfilled. So that's important. So 80% of praying is going to be concerning yourself. So take it very seriously. 1 John chapter 5. So we're going to round up this series today, because next Sunday is our casual Sunday. And then let me say this. On casual Sunday, we're going to be entertaining questions. So during the week, whatever questions you have in the scriptures, other areas of life, write it down. Then on Sunday, we'll come together. We'll have fun. It will be like a roundtable discussion. And then we'll answer all those questions. It's going to be a question and answer service where questions you have concerning scriptures about life with Jesus. So for you to remain anonymous, if you want to be anonymous, write the questions down and then give it over to the pastors, and then we'll treat those questions. So if you want to drop them today, drop them. If you want to bring them next Sunday, begin on Sunday. How are we coming dressed on Sunday? How are we coming dressed on Sunday? Casual is not slippers. You just want to find casual. It's not slippers. It's not bedroom slippers. Casual means that, okay, you're less formal. It doesn't mean you're not looking decent or neat. You're looking decent, you're looking neat. You're just less formal. Okay, so decent and t-shirt and jeans or shirts is the order of the day. All right, 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. So we want to just round up today. Well, we're just going to stop and then continue another time. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and is giving us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Have you ever pondered over the scriptures? I love the epistles of John. I love the gospel of John. His gospel is the closest thing you can find to the epistles. I want you to notice how John summarizes the assignment of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus. So he's talking about our redemption in Christ, and then he summarizes using different words. So he's not talking about something else. He's talking about the same thing. He's just using a different word to communicate the same truth. You know, last week I said something about that. The river of life, the tree of life, the water of life, all refers, the book of life, all refer to one person. Say one person. Who is that person? Jesus. So in the book of Revelation, you have figures used to convey truths. The tree of life, the book of life, the water of life, the tree of, they all refer to one person. So don't start looking for a tree somewhere. Focus on the central figure within the book of Revelation. His name is Jesus. So if you know Jesus is the book of life, Will your name be found written in the book of life? Let me say that. Is your name written in the book of life? You know, some people are not confident. If you're not confident that you are saved, it means you are hoping it will be written. That means you are thinking that your name being written has to do with what you do. You know, it has to do with what he has done. So you can't qualify to be written except by being in him. If you're in him, your name is written. It's not written with ink. It's written simply means you are in him, he is in you. So you are in the book of life. So don't mind preachers that tell you things like, is your name written in the book of life? Brethren, if Jesus comes now, will you make it? Ask him also. Sir, will you also make it? Amen. Okay, so verse 20 says, and we know, say we know. I love John's language. And we know that the Son of God is come. Incarnation. The Son of God is come. He's come. And it says, and he has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. Hallelujah. He has come and given us an understanding. 1 John chapter 5 verse 20 is John's way of summarizing the things that Jesus taught in the Gospels and the explanation of the mystery of Christ in the epistles. In other words, when he says he has come and given us an understanding, what he refers to as understanding is Jesus' death, burial, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, and living inside you now. That's the understanding. It means it's God's will that you be saved, that you be in Christ, and Christ in you. That's what he's saying. He has come and given us an understanding. He summarized all Jesus did in that statement. He has come. What's the purpose? To give you an understanding. What's the purpose to understand? That you may know him that is true. So that word know is not surface knowing. It's not mental knowing. It's talking about a deep communal and intimate connection. What you call in Christ realities. He has come to make you in Christ. That's what he means by that understanding. So that you may know him that is true, and we are, hallelujah, in him that is true, even in his son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and what? Eternal life. You know, people ask questions. Is God the Father and the God the Son? Say, is Jesus God? The answer is yes. Is God Jesus? The answer is yes. Are they not two different people? Yes. Are they one? Yes. What is this one again? See what it says. This is the true God and what? Eternal life. First, John's Gospel chapter 14. John's Gospel chapter 14. We're just going to pick up from where we were before. Because when you say things like that, people start wondering, what are you talking about? John's Gospel chapter 14, verse 2. If you're there, say amen. In my Father's house are many mansions. If we're not so, I will have told you. I go to what? Prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. So if you look at the statements of Jesus, what does he mean by I will go? It is that I will come. Should I use our normal colloquial expression? Let me come and be going. Okay. It says, let me come and be going. See what it says again. See what it says. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If you were not, I would have told you, I go. Did you see that? So if you lose what he's going to say next, that's why we read scriptures in context. You will miss what I will go means. I will go is a short form of talking about what he's about to accomplish. So I will go doesn't just mean I will go in English. I will go means that there's something I will accomplish that will make it possible for me to come in a different form. So we see Jesus in the flesh. We see him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We see that the Father has been glorified by the Son becoming flesh. Okay? So, in John's Gospel, chapter 12 last week, we saw where Jesus spoke to disciples and he said, Father, the time has come, glorify thyself. Glorify your name. And the Father said, I have glorified it and I want to glorify it again. How many of you remember last week's teaching? So, we saw that when Jesus said, Father, glorify us, and Father said, I have glorified it, I will glorify it again, he was referring to his incarnation. God becoming a man is Jesus being glorified for the first time. Then when Father says, I will glorify me again, he's talking about his resurrection. So we spend time focusing on Jesus called the Father different words, trying to get the thought across to disciples in their limited understanding of what redemption means and what it will signify. So Jesus told them, except the corner of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it falls to the ground and dies, It brings forth much fruit. So when the Father says, I've glorified my name, I will glorify it again, it was referring to the resurrection of Jesus. Who is the one that will drop the seed in the ground? The Father. Who is the seed? Jesus. Now, the farmer doesn't get any glory from putting a seed in the ground and the seed coming back up. The farmer gets glory, the farmer gets glory when the seed becomes much fruit. Hallelujah. So, this morning, for example, we've been instructed about the teachings of Jesus in Luke chapter 24, starting from verse 25. When Jesus began to explain to those two on the road to Emmaus, began to open the scriptures to them to explain, and he summarized all the prophets have said as the sufferings of Christ and what? The glory that we will follow. Now, what we now need to see is this. In the Gospels, please pay attention, you see Jesus and his disciples. So we're looking at the Gospel to explain the things that Jesus said would happen before they happened. So the people he was talking to didn't understand what he was saying until after those things happened. So Jesus summarized all the prophets said as the sufferings of Christ and what? The glory that should one follow. So the disciples themselves couldn't see more than they and Christ or Jesus. But in the epistles, we have something that is extremely important, which Jesus spent the whole of chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16 of John's Gospel trying to explain. And that's what we call the in Christ reality. Theologians, translators, all agree that the word in English is the best word that they can use because the English language is limited in what it can use to express the original Greek. That means when the Bible says if a man is in Christ, that word in is light compared to what Jesus actually said. If you say a man is in union with Christ, he's still light compared to what Jesus was trying to say. What was he trying to say? That's why the man in Christ is the strongest expression of what God did in redemption that you can find. You can improve upon it, but you can't find any other word. Because that word already is not really sufficient to explain what really took place. So when Jesus said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come. He was describing his death, his burial, and what? Resurrection. And his resurrection and ascension will mean he will come and live in every single one that believes. Say, Jesus lives in me today. He's alive in me today. So let me explain this now. Christ being in you, listen carefully, is what the Bible calls the exaltation of Jesus. Christ in you is what the Bible calls the exaltation. Remember, when he rose from the dead, people saw him for 40 days. Hallelujah. I mean, so there was a difference between when he rose and when he was exalted. When he rose, it wasn't in any single believer yet. It was when he was exalted that he took up that office, that position. And it's important that we recognize that. If I go to prepare a place, I will come again and receive you to myself. Why? So that where I am, you may want, be there also. So the Father gets glory, not that he threw a seed in the ground and the seed came out, but that many other seeds came out as a result. So the glory of the Father is many sons have been brought into glory. Say, I am the glory of the Father. My resurrection, which is the resurrection of Jesus. My exaltation, which is the exaltation of Jesus, is the glory of the Father. I am my Father's son. Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? Now, these kind of realities have to be taught over and over because it doesn't just sink once. How do we know it doesn't sink? It shows up in the way you pray. You know, there are believers who pray outside of Christ. The minute they are faced with a situation, challenge, they start praying outside of Christ. What I mean outside, I mean in their consciousness, they are no longer in Christ. The promise of God are yet to be fulfilled. So they are trying to get God to do. It means they are allowing the situation to dictate to them rather than allow the word of God to tell them who they are. It means their focus has shifted. That's what it means. Why would the focus shift? Because they've not stayed with it long enough. So remember, Jesus spent chapters trying to communicate what will happen to disciples. In John chapter 16, verse 12, Jesus said to them, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So Jesus was saying, If Jesus spent the first 16 chapters explaining about his work, he now says, "And I yet, many things." That means the bulk of what he wanted to say, he didn't say. He couldn't say because they were limited in their capacity to receive. So what he wanted to say was deeper than what he had said. I mean, he told them, "It is expedient for you that I go away," and he became sad. That word means it's to your advantage, which means they didn't understand what he said in chapter 14. They didn't understand what he said in chapter 15. In fact, Peter got angry. All these parables. What's all these parables? Just show us if I'm blaming, it will be okay. And Jesus was like, "Have I been so long with you, Philip? And you are still saying, show us the Father." Verse 9 of chapter 14. "He that has seen me." Has seen who? Has seen who? That means they didn't get it. So realize that as a believer, in Christ's realities, have to be taught repeatedly. You know, it should take the place of so many other social activities and all that titles of subjects or topics that we look at in church. Because if you're grounded in that, every other thing you do will align. Say, "I am in Christ." It's so important. You won't just say it in church, and a pastor knows that the normal people say those things in church, and when they get outside, you hear things like, "I will show you. We have left church now, I will show you." Because they neglect the truth. They've not stayed long enough only for it to sink. And for it to affect their conscience and their thinking. And so they pray outside of Christ. They act outside of Christ. They adopt situations outside of Christ. Because they are not conscious of that indwelling Christ within them. So for Jesus to be saying this repeatedly, it shows you that it takes time for those things to sink. Luke chapter 4, that means, Luke chapter 24, that means Magdalene shared with us this morning, was a 40-day seminar. 40 days. Think about it. 40 days every day. Now some of you say that teaching is too long. What's going on? This is your life, oh. This is where you come from. This is who you are. These are the things that belong to you. When you say it's too long, you have a problem. It means you are too full of worldly ideas. And this is the only thing that can deliver you from a worldly mindset and make you live out the fullness of the life of God that's within you. So when you say it's too long, that was a 40-day seminar. We just do 3 days, you are complaining. You think about it. Why? It takes time for truth to sink in. Say, it takes time for truth to sink in. So repeatedly, you have to hear the truth over and over again. John chapter 17. We'll come back here. John chapter 17. Glory to God. You know, we're running up to this, so I'm trying to touch as many areas as possible before I zero in on things I need to say. Alright? So he says, "This was spake Jesus," from verse 1, "and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, and thy Son may one glorify thee." Look at the next thing he says. "As thou hast given him power over our flesh, that he should give eternal life." What's the power God gave over our flesh? "That he should give one eternal life to all, to as many as thou hast what? Given him." So the glory he spoke about in verse 1 is the many that God has what? Given him. Remember Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. "He that sanctifies, and they who are sanctified, are all one, or they have the same Father. Wherefore, he is not ashamed to call them what? Brethren." Do you understand that? So, in bringing many sons into glory, they are all brethren, or those who come from the same womb, belonging to the same stock. Of the same stock. Let me say it again. You are not of lesser quality in nature than Jesus. You are a carrier of his nature. That's the truth that the epistles is trying to convey. It's not that you are here. Jesus is here. It's that you and Jesus are one. And that's so important to understand. You and Jesus are one. In the Gospels, we see there's a separation. In the Gospels and the Acts of Apostles, there's distance between Jesus. But in the epistles, we see they are located exactly the same place. You can't see Jesus on one side, the believer on one side. You see Jesus inside the believer. Hallelujah. Do you understand so far? So it's important that we realize. So when you are praying, and when you are speaking, and when you are acting, it is this consciousness that produces external results. Whether it's prayer, whether it's your confession. It is your understanding this that makes you realize that you don't need anything extra. You just need to know what he has already done. So go back to John chapter 14 now. John chapter 14. Are we there? I am going to jump all the way down to... How many of you agree that is going, is coming? How many of you agree that? Is going is what? Is coming. So what does it mean? I will go. I will come into you. So look at verse 20. At that day, pay attention to what said. At that day. Which day is this talking about? The day of his coming or the day of his going? Coming or going? Coming. What does coming mean? He has gone. He has now returned. Isn't it? Okay. So he says, and that day you shall know. That word means you shall realize. Why are you going to realize? I am in my Father, and you in me, and me in on what is and what and I in you. Did you see that? What did he just speak about in verse 20? The new creation. In that day, when the mission has been accomplished, I go to prepare a place where the place is prepared. What place am I preparing? He says, that day, that place means I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. That's the place that he has prepared. That I won't be the singular temple of the earth. You will be living temples as I am a temple. What's the connection? I am in my Father. You will realize, you will know it. It will be an indwelling consciousness. You will know that I'm in my Father, and the Father is in me, and you are in me, and I am in you. You will know on that day. Look at the next verse. He that has my commandments, that word actually is commandment. Only one commandment. That word commandment is believe. That's a commandment. Not many commandments. He says, he that has my commandment and keeps them. What does it mean to keep? It means to believe. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him and what? Manifest myself to him. Don't take your focus from verse 20. Verse 20 is what is being explained. Because immediately you take your focus, people start thinking, what commandments am I meant to take that Jesus can come to me? He has come to you. You are saved. Say, I'm saved. I'm born again. Christ dwells in me now. I have kept the commandment, so it dwells in me now. So why is he speaking this way? He is speaking to those that will believe. They were yet to believe. Verse 22. Quickly. Judas sent unto me. He said, this is John said, not Iscariot though. Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto me, if a man will love me, he will keep my, what's his word? Resurrection. Believe in the resurrection. He says, and my Father will love him, and we will come. We will come unto him and make our dwelling place with him. He's still explaining verse 20. We will make our dwelling place. It will become our abode. It will be the temple of the living God. That's what it says. Now, once you understand that, listen carefully. We're going to explore more of this when we're looking at Greater Works next month during our seminar. You will understand what the name of Jesus means. The name of Jesus is not J-E-S-U-S. It's not a pronunciation. It's not a title. It's not a label. It's a work that is accomplished. It's a position that he occupies. So John chapter 14, look at verse 12. Look at what Jesus said. Everything he's been trying to communicate, they are all, see, you don't, the name is not different. What he's saying is different. He's using the name to explain what he will do. So the name is attached to what he will do. So verse 12 now, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. How should you read it as a believer? Have you believed on him? Are you sure you believe on him? So he that believeth, it was a future event. It was yet to happen when he was saying it. Now it has happened. So he says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he what? Do also, and greater works than what? This shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So he's always saying, I'm going to the Father. And we're not going to the Father means he will die for our sins. He will rise on the third day. He will be exalted at the Father's right hand. That's what it means to get to the Father. And his exaltation means he will live inside of you. So next verse, verse 13 now. Watch where we're going. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Again, when you're reading the scriptures, don't take verse 12 as a separate thought from verse 13. Verse 13 is still talking about verse 12. What did he say in verse 12? He that believeth. What does it mean to believe? You believe that he rose from the dead. What does that make you? Become born again. He now says that believeth on me. The works that I do shall he do also. Greater works than this shall he do, because I go to the Father. He now says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified where? In the Son. Just stay with me a little bit. Because we said, the name that is referring to here is not just yes. It's not a label. It's not an appellation. It's not a title. It's talking about something important. Because whatever that name means is being explained in previous verse. Greater works shall he do, because I go. So his going and greater works are related. And it says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Look at John chapter 20 and verse 31. We'll put them together now. 20:31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have what? Life through his name. Again, if you read that in English, what you see is this: if I confess Jesus, I will have life. And that's true. But the question is, why does that name seem to work? Or what does that name refer to? Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5. Hallelujah. I would really appreciate it if you go back to our teaching last year and we looked at the name of Jesus. It will really help you. Okay? Using that name to cut cake at weddings has watered down what it really means. Okay? Using that name to kiss the bride has watered down what that name really means. Okay? And that's one of the ploys of the enemy, so that you won't really see what you're saying. You don't know what it means. You just say it. Everybody says what you just say. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. It says, let this mind be with you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Next verse. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Yeah? And made but means of no reputation, and took upon the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness. That's incarnation. That's the incarnation of Jesus. Likeness of men. Next verse. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Next verse. Wherefore, pay attention now, God also has highly exalted who? Him. And what? Giving him a name which is above every name. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should... Did they say at the mention? Did you see the word mention there? Okay, how many of you know we have a song that says, at the mention of your name? Okay. Did he say mention here? What did he say? At the name. Let me use another phrase. At the inception of the name. So, you need to find out, what does the name mean? Because Jesus wasn't the only one bearing Jesus in his days. Acts 10 verse 13 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. To let you say, we're not talking about Jesus of Galilee. We're not talking about Jesus of Samaria. So they mentioned Jesus of Nazareth because everybody knew, okay, you mean the one from Nazareth. To show he wasn't the only one bearing the name. So it wasn't the five letters he was referring to. See what it says in verse 9 again. Wherefore, God also has highly what? Exalted him. The exaltation of Jesus is his name. Let me say that again. Remember John chapter 14. I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you may be also. Where is he? He said, I go to my Father. So, is he with the Father? Is that a trick question? So answer. Is he with the Father? Yes. Where exactly, or how does the Bible describe him being with Father? At the Father's right hand. So, when the Bible says, God has also highly exalted him, he's talking about him being at the Father's right hand. He now says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and giving him a name, his exaltation, which is a description of what he accomplished, is what that name means. You don't get given, you see, he didn't change his name. He was still called Jesus. Sorry. But he now says he has given him a name, means he has occupied a new office. He has accomplished something bigger than just being born. That's what it means. So, did he rise from the dead? Say yes. But now he has not just risen, he is exalted at the Father's right hand. Right hand doesn't mean there's a left hand. You know, we have looked at that before. And some of you, You'll be amazed at how these truths affect our visions. Somebody was taken to heaven. Yeah, I don't know why they always see Apostle James, Peter. They've never seen James or John there at the temple and the gate of heaven. It's always Peter that they're always seeing. And then he's taken to heaven and he sees uncompleted building. Because in heaven, your heaven, uncompleted building. Can you imagine this? Just because some wrong understanding of scriptures. He's read John chapter 14. In my father's house, there are many mansions. Even English will tell you something's wrong with that statement. How can you have mansions in houses? You can't be talking about physical buildings. Jesus is talking about spiritual realities, not physical buildings. You build all you wanted to build on this earth. You are still looking for another physical building again. Even in heaven, with swimming pool and jacuzzi. It's carnal thinking. He's talking about the indwelling of the Father dwelling in you. That's what he's talking about. So he says God has highly exalted him. And now he's his Father's right hand. The word right hand doesn't mean God has a left hand. Because we have people who have had visions now. And they saw Jesus sitting here. The only problem is that he's actually not even sitting physically. Sitting is a figure of speech. Sitting means to be in authority. Hallelujah. Sitting means to be in a position over and above all. That's what sitting means. Because I say we are seated with him. If you think of a chair, you know what you are thinking about? Let me look for Let me see. Hold on. Please excuse me. So, I am the firstborn of this family. Steve, move here. You can't be firstborn. Move. You are lastborn. And I'm seated this way. And then once I sit, you sit, you sit, you sit. So, which number are you where you are at the back? Because you are imagining the chair that when you are coming, you just shift for you to sit. In your mind, you're just thinking you shift, just sit. I mean, no, we are seated with him means we're in authority with him. We're in authority with him. That's what it means. We are in authority with him. It's not bum bum and chair. No. That's kind of thinking. He's talking about authority. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name. His exaltation is what his name means. His name is what he accomplished. That's why I was able to say, so that in believing you may have life through his name. Why do you have life? Because of what he accomplished through his name. Hallelujah. So what he accomplished is what his name represents. That's what it means. So when you say, I confess Jesus is Lord, you just mention all he ever accomplished. When you say, I am a man in Christ, you just use the name of Jesus. He didn't say at the mention, at the name of Jesus, or at his accomplishment, every knee must bow. Are you with me this morning? That's what it means. Now, that is not going to happen. That has happened. Read again. Philippians 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also, as God exalted him, as God given him name, which is above every name, verse 10. At the name, when did he get the name? At his resurrection and exaltation. Has he been exalted? He has gotten a name. What happened when he got the name? Every knee bowed of beings in heaven, of beings on earth, and of beings under the earth. Glory to God. So the name is not a title. The name is a position and accomplishment. John puts it this way in John chapter 4, verse 17. It says, as he is, so are we. That's why in Paul's revelation, where we have the best and most clear outline of in Christ realities, is because of the way Paul started his ministry when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Remember that story? And when he asked, Lord, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. He didn't even put Lord there. I am Jesus. And Jesus was referring to every single believer Paul had ever persecuted. He says, I am Jesus. In other words, I'm not separate from any believer. We are one. As they are, so am I. As I am, so are they. So if you touch them, you touch me. That's what he's saying. That means you can't pray successfully outside of that name, that consciousness. That means that name belongs to you. That name is everything he ever accomplished. When you understand, you use name of Jesus differently. The name of Jesus is not mentioning Jesus. You can mention and you don't know. It's not for chasing away bad dreams. After some of us are using, the bad dreams multiply. Because you don't have a revelation of what did he accomplish when he rose from the dead. Why do we celebrate resurrection so much? I will tell you what it means. Resurrection means, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Let me tell you what that word new means. A species of being that has never existed, not only that, that can never suffer spiritual death again. The Bible says, in that he raised him up, now no more to return to the grave. Hallelujah. Peter said that it was impossible that death should hold him because of the power the Father demonstrated in raising him. That means that's the same power that made you a new creation. So when you enter into one door, every other door to go out is closed. Ah, oh, glory to God. You know, people, I hear people say things like, if I get saved now, can't I slip out? Slip out how? There's only one door in, there's no way out. If any man be in Christ, it's not your will that was changed. It's not your thought that was changed. It is your nature that was changed. And you can't get that nature by yourself. It has to be given. How was he given? He purged you from your sins. And he did a perfect work. Not only did he purge you, he changed your nature entirely. Glory to God. So if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, or look, focus your attention completely. All things have become new. Glory to God. So when we use the name, when it says, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Mark chapter 16, verse 17. In my name. In the light of what I have accomplished. That's what it means. In my name. In the light of what I have accomplished. You shall cast out devils. If you see people trying to cast out devils and they are sweating, the problem is not the name. The problem is their understanding of the name. It's not a magic talisman. That's why it's a revelation of what God has done. So when we are teaching in details this way, it's because you need to comprehend what is behind it. The name is more than an appellation. The name is what he has accomplished for us. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So my calls him the firstborn. Psalm 110. Let me go back a little bit and say a few things more before we round up this morning. Psalm 110 from verse 1. Glory to God. David had a revelation. There were things David was looking forward to. David had a revelation. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make one thy enemies thy footstool. David saw this before it ever happened. David was speaking about the incarnation, God becoming a man, accomplishing our redemption and salvation, and then when he accomplishes by his exhortation, he sits at the Father's right hand. So the Father's right hand is not delegated authority, it's all the authority the Father has. So that if you're looking for the Father, who will you see? You will see Jesus seated. That's what he means. He told Philip, you are still asking for the Father. He that has seen me. Now listen carefully, I'm going to take a jump, but think a little bit. Don't let your mind explode. So if Christ is in the Father, and the Father is in him, and we are in him, where is the Father? Where is the Father? No, take a little bit. Do some mathematics. The Father is in Christ. Christ is the Father. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. Where is the Father? In you. So is it okay to say the believer is the Father manifest? You know, you just took a huge leap. Do you know what you just said? That you'll be cast out of many churches. You. Is it not you? You are the Father what? But that is exactly what they said to Jesus. When the God first said that, see, if whatever, just okay, just tell us plainly exactly what I said, but I've been telling you who I am since. But you do not believe me. I and my Father are one. Say, eh? It took up stones. Because the Jews knew what it means for a man to say, I am a father one. That means you can represent him anywhere. If they see you, they have seen him. That's what it means. So they were like, what do you mean? And I was like, oh, of which of the good works I have done. I'm quoting from John chapter 10 from verse 29. Do you want to stone me? He said, well, for a good work, we don't want to stone you. But for you, being a man, you make yourself God. He said, oh, okay, let me leave that one. Let me go back to what you understand. Is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods? Is it not written in your law? So what do you think he was talking about? And Jesus said, if he spoke to mere men who received the word and called them gods, how can you say of the one who the Father sanctified and sent to the world, I am God. I'm the Son of God. So in Jesus' statements, there was a constant confession of who he is and who he was. I am the resurrection and the life. That's not boasting. That's an affirmation of who you are. That's who you are. So he said, I am a son of God. I'm not boasting. I'm saying it as it is. If I say I'm weak, I'm lying. That means I'm consulting another source. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why? You're already in the Lord. Then you can be strong in the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in the scriptures, we now have people who are looking forward to the day you are in. Look at John chapter 8 verse 56. John chapter 8 verse 56. Oh, I love Jesus. He didn't make it easy on the Pharisees. See what he said? Your father Abraham. Do you notice that I didn't say our father Abraham? No, it's not my own father. He's your father. He's your father. He's my father. Your father. Who they trusted in so much? Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Who's talking about? The Jews got mad. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Look at what he said. He said, ah. I'm a middle name. When were you born? Who born you? And you have seen Abraham. You know, Jesus should have just backed up that. Actually, what I mean is that when Isaac rose from the dead figuratively, it was me rising up. That's what I tried. He didn't explain. He made it worse. Look at the next verse. Before Abraham was, I am. Do what you want to do. Only one person uses I am, Jehovah himself. And this is Jehovah in the flesh. Before Abraham was, I am. Not I was. He never was. He is always in the present tense continuous. I am. And in those statements, we find the secret of how we exercise our rights, our privileges, our authorities. You must always confess who you are, wherever you are, whatever situation you're in. Your failure to declare and to confess is the reason why there's so much affliction without it going away. You are indestructible by constitution. You don't understand. Look at what Jesus said about you. In that day you shall know. What do you know today? That the Father is in Christ, and Christ is in you, and you are in him. It means whatever can destroy Christ can destroy you. That is what he's saying. How do you get it to work? You begin to declare it every day. That's why speaking in the name of Jesus is more than using yes, yes. When you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you just use the name. When you say, I'm a new creation in Christ, you just use the name. I'm the temple of God, you just use the name. I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. You just use the name. The name means what he has accomplished. As long as your confession lies of what he has done, you are using the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I have been to meetings where, of course, prompted by the Spirit, I have prayed for people. And they are waiting for you to say, in the name of Jesus. And for some, because of where I was led, I didn't even touch them. Right from the altar, and you stand to this place. And I pointed at them. And the power of God hit them. And I waited for me to say, in the name. No, I'm using the name. Whatever you shall demand in my name, whatever you will demand based on what I have accomplished, I will do it. Has he healed every sick person in the world in his account? Yes. So I use the name by exercising the authority over sickness. And they are waiting that, you know, they will start wondering, this man using another power. All this man and the partners now. Because they saw me pointing. He says, just stand where you are. And so they get and say, look at me. Just look at me. We were in a meeting last Sunday. My wife was there with me in the meeting. Lady stood up, called out by word of knowledge, said, just stand, don't come, just stay where you are. Because I've been explaining them some things about God's power. We don't just teach, we show. Did you hear what I said? You have to have proof of what you're saying. You don't just teach, you show. Have you ever bought a demo? You know, glory to God. We don't just have the indwelling, we have the works to show it. Greater works than this shall you do, because I go to the Father. Hallelujah. And if you're not confident, people, I remember the lady said, I picked out that there's this constant on me upset to the person serving. So she stood up. So I pointed at her. And then I stopped. I said, check it now. She said, I'm still feeling it. I looked at her, look at me very well. Said, just look at me very well. Is this it there? The same person said, he says, no, it's not there again. What made her say was there before? Unbelief. So if you don't know what you are saying, I'm like, it didn't work today. How can it not work? He has been exalted. He has to. Glory to God. It's too late for it not to work. He is risen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when you are praying, it's not a hit and miss affair. Do you understand? You are on target. You know exactly where you are, who you are. So to speak, the Father is depending on your prayers to get certain things done on the earth. So you are not on the receipt, you are not beggarly, trying to make it work. It is already working. You are in the process of manifesting it. Glory to God. Ask who you are. Ask who you are. Isaiah chapter 12. You have to say it. You have to declare it. And you have to keep saying it. You have to keep declaring it. Why we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? The sickness is temporal. The affliction is temporal. The lack is temporal. But your wealth and abundance and riches in Christ are eternal. Hallelujah. Those ones are eternal. You keep saying it. You don't stop saying it. The day you stop saying it, you stop saying something, there is no man who doesn't say something. Everybody says something. The challenge is that some of us catch ourselves saying things of God without knowing we've said them. Alpha, we're just managing this Nigeria. May God help us. May God help you. You are the help of God. Have you forgotten what he said? He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. There is nothing that men can do unto. But you have not said that. Your friends say we're managing. You two have come to manager. That's the problem. And you focus so much. My wife is there, so she will be a witness. When I'm dealing with my children concerning health, and I'm not saying you shouldn't take children to the hospital when they need to go to the hospital, but there are many times when I know the Bible talks about lying, the symptoms are lying. The word of God is true. So I'm teaching them, and I'm not being hard on you or wicked. I'm just telling you that what I said to you will work. You are healed in the name of Jesus. I didn't say you are healed in J-E-S-U-S. I just told you are healed because he's risen, he's seated, and he lives in me today. That's what I just said. Except those things are not facts in the spirit. That's the only way you're going to be well. I just told you are well, so you are well. That's not denying the truth. That is affirming the truth. Hallelujah. Let's talk about reality. Hallelujah. This is our reality. This is our reality. Isaiah chapter 12 verse 1. See what it says. In that day. Which day is talking about? Remember what he said about Abraham. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. The day of resurrection, of exaltation. In that day. What is a man meant to do in that day? In that day thou shalt say. Glory to God. So the primary thing we say in this day of resurrection and exhortation is we have to just say. You have to declare what has happened. You have to declare what has taken place. You have to declare that you are highly favored of God. Hallelujah. You are not one who is expecting favor. You are already favored. Glory to God. You have to say it and keep saying it. That's how you draw from the wells of salvation. The wells are there, but they obey your words. That's how you raise authority. They obey your words. And you're not changing your confession in the face of the heaviness of the senses. You stay with it. Glory to God. I can't be cheated. I can't be stranded. I can't be denied. I can't be disappointed. I can never be disadvantaged. I am highly favored of God. I am prosperous in all the work of my hands. All I do works together for my good. In the name of Jesus, I am more than a conqueror through him that has loved me. My faith always works. I can never fail. What I have believed has taken place already. In Christ, I have all I need and much more. He supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You are drawing from a rich account, so you are not stepping back. When you are handling the word, you are not hoping. He just told you all the promise of God in him, they are yes and they are amen. They are not going to come to pass. They have been come to pass already in Christ Jesus. That's what he says. Glory to God. You are not waiting to be elevated. He told you, and you are seated with him far above all principalities and powers. That means you are a master of demons. Angels are meant to serve you, but you realize who you are. Glory to God. Angels are meant to serve you. Start praying beggarly prayers. Oh God, if only you can help me. If only you can have mercy. That means even Zacharias knew more than you. The father of John the Baptist. That means he even knew more than you. In Luke chapter 1 from verse 79. He said that we've been delivered from our enemies and the hand of those that hate us might serve him without fear all the days of our lives. What does it mean by fear? I no longer have to consider sin, for there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. In that day thou shalt say, it means you will say it. You're no longer afraid. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, he's our father now. There's no record of wrongdoing in my account. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. So I am fearless. I'm confident. I am bold. I am the Father manifest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why learn to pace the floor of your house. Things seem to be going awry. I can never be stranded. It's impossible. The angels of God, they serve me. I have spoken. I have the answer. I have the result of everything I've said. I believe them. Have I spoken? In the name of Jesus, I declare the business works out. The proposal is accepted. I am highly favored in the name of Jesus. There is no weapon that is fashioned against me that will prosper. What are you doing? You're praying in the name of Jesus. You are saying what you are saying because you know what he did. He told Peter, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not. He didn't say, I will keep building my church. I will build this once. And he has built his church. What did he mean? The gates of hell shall not prevail. It means when I'm resurrecting, I'm not coming out alone. I'm coming out with a glorious company. And the gates of hell will stop our coming out. And he has already come out. Hallelujah. He didn't just come out, he ascended. And he sat. Glory to God. So it doesn't matter what appears not to be working. There is dynamic ability within you this morning. There is supernatural energy within you this morning that will obey the words of your lips. Stand to your feet this morning and begin to declare in the name of Jesus as a supernatural turnaround. I refuse to be a victim of circumstances. I declare by the resurrection power in the name of Jesus, I have what I say. I have what I say. All that I require is given to me this season. I say in this day, in the name of Jesus, I am highly favored. I am not a victim. I'm not subject to circumstances. I am above only. I've never been a high declare in the name of Jesus. I am complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. Lack is swallowed up in light of his provision. In the name of Jesus, there is no lack that can make a mockery of a child of God. I have divine supply. I have abundance in all that I do. I walk in sound health. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke sickness. I rebuke disease. I walk in sound health. In the name of Jesus, I walk in the light. And there's no occasion of stumbling for me. I walk in Christ. I have the light of life. There is no stumbling. There is no missing it. But there is a divine accuracy. I am on target. I am on point. In the name of Jesus. There is a supernatural energy at work in me. I make supernatural progress in all my endeavors. I am a man in Christ. There is no offense that can stand against me. I am delivered on every side. I enjoy angelic assistance on every side. The favor of God is at work in my life. When men see me, they favor me. They arise to help me. There is no stopping me in the days to come. I declare in the coming month, I'm strengthened with might by your spirit in the inner man. I comprehend supernatural things. I see new possibilities. I see new horizons. In the name of Jesus, I walk at large. I walk in absolute freedom. I walk in my rights and privileges in Christ Jesus. No longer will I sit back. No longer will I just watch this happen. I make things happen in the name of Jesus. I am in control. I am in charge. Christ has put me in charge. Men act into the gospel of God upon my lips. Souls are saved, men are healed, demons are cast out, because in his name I do greater works, in his name I do mightier works, in his name I effect his will upon the earth. Glory to God. Make sure you're declaring the word of God this morning. In that day thou shalt say, in the day of his resurrection, the day of his exaltation, you will say things. There are things to say. There are things to declare. There are things to receive. There are things to lay hold of. Don't just sit back and watch delay. Don't just sit back and work anything that's contrary to what you have said. I wish above all things that you prosper and not bound in health, even as your soul prospers. In the name of Jesus, I can never be cornered. I can never be stranded. All things are working out for my good. In the name of Jesus, I succeed like never before. I finish well this morning. I finish well this morning. Abundance and supernatural supply is mine to enjoy. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Exalt you. We exalt you. Glory to your name forever. Glory to your name forever. I carry your seal upon. Hallelujah. When you get home, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to you. When you get home, whatever was previously a challenge, mentally look it in the face. Sit down. If you need to sit physically to show it, to convince your mind that sitting in Christ, laugh. Do you understand? Listen, that has this next month. I'll show you what Psalm 2 means. It says, he that sitteth, it was a prophecy. No one was sitting. So he that sitteth is talking about somebody who is coming to sit. So it says, the one who finally sat. For him to be able to sit, he did some things to be able to sit. Out of the abundance of what he did, he is now laughing. Do you understand? But here's the issue. He didn't sit alone. We are seated with him. So whatever constitutes a delay, an affliction, something you've believed has yet to manifest, you sit down. The wisdom or the foolishness of God is wiser than men. You look at it in the face and you laugh. And you laugh. And you laugh. You are seeing the end of it. And you laugh. You are seeing his promises manifest. And you laugh. You do it deliberately, consciously. It's important that you understand this is how to express victory. Hallelujah.